On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is The Conversation Hour with John Fain.
Welcome to today's special forum on The Conversation Hour. I'm John Fain, and I have in the studio with me today one of the senior bosses from the NBN Co. And you have an opportunity right now to find out what the future holds, what's going right, what's going wrong, to sort out issues and problems, to have technical things explained in language that we can all understand, and a whole lot more. How high-tech is Australia's future, and what's the role of NBN Co. in meeting it? In a moment, I'll introduce you to my RMIT University independent expert, who's here to explain things to us from an independent point of view. But our special guest in the studio is Tony Brown. He's the executive manager of corporate media with NBN Co., which means he's one of their top bosses and can explain complicated technical stuff in language we all understand. Tony, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
NBN Co. for beginners. Let's just go back a step or two. We'll come to fibre to the curb and 5G and all the rest of it in a moment, but let's not assume every single person listening even knows what we're talking about. National Broadband Network, we're talking about basically securing Australia's digital future.
Yeah, I guess it's really a question of how long you have, John. If you recall last year, your colleagues on the ABC from Four Corners attempted to do a program, or did do a program on NBN. And of course, explaining the NBN in 42 minutes, 10 years of political and technical history, is a major challenge. So we'll do our best this morning. As you know, as many of your listeners will be aware, NBN started in April 2009. And the original remit of the company was to provide a fibre-to-the-premises connection to 93% of the country, with the remaining 7% going on to fixed wireless and satellite. At the change of government in September 2013, that was modified and changed. The 7% remained on fixed wireless and satellite. But of the 93%, that then changed to the vast majority of those people going on to FTTN, fibre to the node, using copper for the last stretch to the home, about 2.5 million going on to HFC, or the pay TV cables, as they're called, and the remainder on FTTP. Now, since then, we're now
fibre
up to...
Fibre to the premises.
Fibre to the premises, of course, and that's about 2 million premises across the country.
Which is the kind of, you know, best option for technology, although it's expensive for suppliers.
That's right. So, effectively, what had happened for the first couple of years, so when NBN was founded in April 2009... the intention was to go for a basically all FTTP build.
Fibre to everyone's house.
That's right, premises or indeed business.
Yeah.
Now, the issue really came in delivering that. Now, obviously, that's the dream. That's what everybody would love to get to, having a fibre optic connection into every premises or business in the country. The options for that, business-wise and economically-wise, are extraordinary, right? The capacity is endless. The problem was making that happen. Now, for the first couple of years, the rollout was very, very slow. So for the first 5 years, only about 400,000 premises were activated on fibre between June 2010 and June 2015. It's a tremendous technology. However, in a country like Australia, we have these broad, massive, sprawling suburbs. It's hard to do, very hard to do in many cases. Most of fibre...
You mean in an engineering sense?
That's right, yeah, because you're effectively taking fibre from where it was on ADSL. On ADSL, the average length of copper on ADSL, about 2.5 kilometres. And so the average speed on ADSL, about 8 megabits per second. Not particularly fast, but not bad. And if you're close to an exchange, you might get about 20 megabits per second on ADSL. On NBN, on FTTN, the average length of copper, about 450 metres. And that will get you about 70 megabits per second of broadband speed.
So you can have a hybrid system.
Yeah.
So we could have the pure cable system, pure fibre system, or you could have fibre most of the way, but then just your copper wires at the end.
Yep.
Or you can have your old cable television.
That's right. And that's slightly separate to this debate. So this the cable, the HFC, we'll come to shortly. So the big problem on FTTN, it's very attractive in some ways. It enables a very fast deployment, and you don't have to go into someone's front garden or even into their house, right? You can activate, we have activated about 50,000 premises a week, massive numbers. However, the challenge with FTTN is the length of the copper, and getting the distance is short enough. Now, unfortunately, There are some people on lengths of copper about 1 kilometre in length. Their speeds will inevitably be slower, about 25 meg.
Sorry, copper for a whole K?
That's right, yeah. That's
so, in fact, the fibre doesn't go past their house?
No, it will go to a cabinet, and then the cabinet then feeds copper to those premises. Now, on the urban, this is, you know, it's very hard to be exact in this, but on the urban fringe, outer suburban areas, those copper links will be longer. If you are in an urban area, like in a city, Melbourne, obviously it's a much higher population density. People live closer together, so speeds will be much higher.
Now you've got a thing. I mean, I'm just terribly wary that what you're more than familiar with and comfortable with is for many people overwhelmingly confusing. So
first of
all, I think we have to slow down a little bit if we possibly could. But then you've also now introduced this thing called fibre to the curb.
That's right, yes.
So now that's an idea where we can get rid of these long lengths of copper.
Yep.
By having more fibre, but not to every single property boundary.
It goes outside the premises.
Yep.
So the challenge is on fibre to the node. It's very fast to activate. One box on a street corner will activate 400 premises in the locality. That's
done. What happens if 350 of those are trying to use it all at once? Doesn't it slow right down?
No. The beauty of the technology we're using, that was the case on ADSL for sure. The beauty of the technology we're using on FTTN, it's called VDSL vectoring, and it cancels out the interference between the lines. So that kind of interference you would have got in the past isn't the problem. The biggest issue with fibre to the node is that there are some people out there, probably about 15-20%, who are, let's say, 800 metres or more from the copper. So the more copper that is serving your premises, the slower your speeds will be. Now, the big attraction of fibre to the curb is we're taking fibre to generally within 30 metres, can be up to 150 metres from your premises. So it goes right to the end of your driveway. On the end of your driveway, it links in with your final stretch of copper, about 20 or 30 metres. It can be much shorter than that. And, of course, that means that your speeds on VDSL will be 100 meg consistently.
We'll also come to 5G, which could make all of this irrelevant in a moment. But you have the chance to ask Tony questions about what's going on with NBN. Because this is incredibly complicated, and a lot of us have just the sort of most superficial understanding of it, I've invited Mark Gregory from RMIT University, who's an associate professor in network engineering, to come in and hold my hand. And Mark, thank you for doing so again.
My pleasure, John.
First of all, Tony's gone through an explanation to us of where we're up to so far, and I can't help but have noticed you were at a few different points shaking your head vigorously in disagreement.
Well, this has been one of the problems for the last 5 years with NBN Co, is that every person in the media and communications team has been an expert in rewriting history or making technical errors. So let's just start back at the beginning. As we know, when they first started the NBN, they had to negotiate with Telstra for 18 months to get the deal done. And so therefore, really for the first 3 years, they were building the back end, they were putting fibre between the connection points, they were negotiating with Telstra. And so yes, after the first 3 years, they had only rolled out a small number of actual connections to homes. But then, of course, what Tony forgot to mention was that when the Liberal government came in, they decided to negotiate with Telstra again. And so that took another 18 months whilst they'd frozen the fibre to the premises rollout. And so that did mean that by 2015, very little had been achieved. Now, the reason that very little had been achieved was because of the coalition government, had nothing to do with NBN Co, had nothing to do with the plan to roll out fibre to the premises. Now, a couple of other small points that Tony's gotten wrong is that fibre to the curb, by NBN Co's own definition, means up to 300 metres of copper from homes.
That's incorrect. 300? That's absolutely incorrect.
Yes, 300 metres of copper from the homes.
I'll come to you in a second, Tony.
It may mean that we're going to see most homes around 100, 120 metres, some within 40 metres, but again, you're going to have some people that are not going to get the outcomes that they want. A couple of other small points that Tony's forgotten to mention is that there are going to be a large number of people, 15 to 20%, 10% of them are not even getting speeds that they were getting with ADSL. So we're spending $50 billion and we've got a straight up 10% that are now worse off than they were before the $50 billion was spent.
Again, that's completely incorrect. That's incorrect.
Which part of it?
So a couple of things there. First of all, fibre to the curb, and I checked this with the people in the FTTC team, we'll do that to about 150 metres. Where Mark's got 300 metres from, I have no idea. Secondly, by the end of the NBN build, as we've explained already, everybody, even those people who are unfortunate enough to have a kilometre of copper, will get 25 megabits per second. So how that can possibly be worse off than ADSL, I really don't know. ADSL, as we've already explained, average about 8 megabits per second. So even on your worst case NBN speed, 25 megabits per second, clearly three times faster than even your average ADSL speed.
But you're talking average. There are people with ADSL who were getting faster, because that was an average figure, so there were people above it and people below it. There were people who had a very fast service with whatever peculiarities of their ADSL connection, and now they've got an inferior service, which is the point that shouldn't, Mark's
so
making.
The complication
no, it
there,
shouldn't, but it
the
is.
Complication there is that during the coexistence period on FTTN, which is, we don't need to go into detail here, NBN will only guarantee 12 megabits. Now, at the end of the coexistence, which is 18 months, that speed will be 25 megabits. Now, bottom line, if your line cannot achieve 25 megabits per second on FTTN, it is up to NBN to do the necessary engineering work to make sure it does. And that's the commitment from us.
It might be the commitment, but it's not the reality. And I've got so many text messages. I've got people texting me, and I've got a full board of calls, which we'll get to in a second, saying, we've got fibre to the node. It's broken five times in 3 months. I've got people saying, Apollo Bay, the whole town was without power for 12 hours because they've NBN'd it. No one had a landline phone for half a day.
I'm not familiar with the Apollo Bay situation, unfortunately. In terms of the reliability of the service, clearly, if you have a fibre connection to the premises and you've replaced every single piece of copper into the premises, then that will be a more reliable service, inevitably.
However, just got broadband here in Belmont in Geelong, no better than before, slows down heaps at night when everyone comes home, total waste of
congestion.
Time and money.
So again, I'm glad we've actually had that comment there. The number one issue on the NBN is not related with technology, it is the model on which the company operates, and that is the congestion charge, the CVC, if you like. Now, we had a real issue with this with the retailers over a long period of time, and throughout last year, as we were adding subscribers very, very quickly, and this became a real hot issue. We've addressed it now, but unfortunately, the number one factor will be how much bandwidth or capacity your retailer buys for you and supplies to you as an end user.
I think it's also important to throw in here that, yes, congestion is an issue, but let's just go back to a couple of other points that Tony made. We need to understand that today, America now has more fibre to the premises than we have. And yet we were told that this just wouldn't happen by the government, by the Prime Minister. We've also got the United Kingdom and Germany, who the Prime Minister has quoted many times. Both of them right now are moving to fibre to the premises.
That's incorrect as well, I'm afraid. That's completely
incorrect. The information was put out 2 days ago by Deutsche Telekom about the investment that they need to go to fibre to the premises.
Yes.
And Tony, I'd really appreciate it if you'd stop cutting through and
well,
wait until it's...
Well, that's just incorrect, I'm afraid.
Tony, I'm afraid, please wait your turn. The other point, of course, that we need to know is that Australia has plummeted in the world broadband rankings down to number 60. And this mostly has occurred in the last 5 years, whilst we've been rolling out an obsolete fibre-to-the-node technology. As many of your callers are trying to identify, it's unreliable. NBNCo accepts 5 dropouts a day. That's acceptable under NBNCo. 5 dropouts a day.
5 a day? Is
five
that
a
right,
day.
Tony?
That's right, yes. That's in our service level agreement. Accepting, of course, that some of those dropouts will not be related to NBN. They'll be related to the retailers themselves.
Whatever they're related to, if that's regarded as acceptable, that comes as a surprise to all of us.
Most of those dropouts will be something the end users would perhaps not even notice have occurred. So, yes, clearly...
What do you mean we wouldn't notice?
So it can be that dropout relates to a dropout perhaps of a few seconds that you may not even know it's happened as an end user.
Well,
of course,
may,
the more dropouts
they may
there are.
Not, but if there might be 5 dropouts for an hour and we're supposed to say that's acceptable.
Well, that would be well beyond what we have as the service level agreements.
Well, no, it's not. If it's 5 dropouts a day is regarded as acceptable, there's no duration built in to what's acceptable, is there?
That's right.
So it's 5 dropouts, full stop, and we complain, and you guys would say, well, that's within acceptable service standards.
If those level of dropouts were occurring, we would expect the end users to talk to their retail service provider, who then come to NBN, and if there is a technical fault on the NBN portion of the network, that should be fixed.
I've got so many callers waiting, and I've got text messages by the page. The general character of them, if they're not individual complaints, the general tenor is, I weep for my country. How have we got this so wrong? I've lived and worked in, so far I've got Thailand, the United States, many European countries and Singapore, others saying, I can't see how everyone else can do this stuff. Why can't we? And I don't expect you to answer. Well, I'll get to callers.
Okay.
Peter in Balnarring, good morning to you. Our special forum, Tony Brown from NBNCo and Mark Gregory from RMIT University. Peter, go ahead.
Hi. Hello, everyone. I'm just ringing reference fixed line and broadband relevant to where we sit. 18 months ago, or 2 years ago, we had a dot system put in here. Since then, we got promised 15 meg. Up till about 18 months ago, we only had 12 meg per second. In recent times, it's dropped down to 4 meg per second. And now it's right down to 0.45 megabytes per second. The download speed, I've been in touch with Telstra. I'm now in touch with the Ombudsman to try and get some sort of sense of this. The only thing that I can find out from them is that when they bought in the NBN links, they changed our system or used the wire for NBN and we lost our speed. Now, that's from a layman's point of view. In recent times, we lost our internet for 2 days straight out. We run a small business.
You're sounding really impressed, Peter.
Oh, God. I mean, to me, it's absolutely sad. You know, like a small business out where our phones and everything are connected, it's a dot system, so everything's connected through the internet. We lose all our communications when Telstra goes down, when the internet goes down.
Let me get a response from Tony.
Can we just clarify, are you now on an NBN service with Telstra? Is that the situation here?
No, NBN is not meant to come in here till October, November. But what they're saying, or what the technicians have said to me, and I've spoken to, I would say 30 or 40 over the last 18 months with people coming in to try and get our broadband working properly, or trying to get our network working properly, is that when they've bought doing the NBN, they've taken speed off us for some reason. How that works, I have no idea.
That doesn't sound like, obviously, that's a very regrettable situation from your point of view. I'll talk to my, if you can give your details to the producer, I'll talk to my counterparts at Telstra and see if we can get that one fixed up for you and find out what's going on.
Peter, I'm going to ask everybody this, because I think this is turning into, I mean, we do lots of things here on the radio, and every now and again things just bang, they really hit home in a way that you don't often see. Is this the sort of thing where it can influence the way you vote?
With me?
Yes, you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm trying to run a small business and it's totally disrupted to the point that it can't operate.
I'm going to put you back to my producers and we'll see whether or not they... we'll take your contacts and see whether NBNCo can help you down the track. I'll get to texts. I'm not ignoring them. But John from Hastings, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. Thanks for the opportunity and good morning to your guests. Look, my beef with the NBN isn't necessarily a technical issue. It's way above my pay grade. But having said that, I like being educated and understand it all. My beef's with the disgraceful graffiti on the boxes and how the NBN, when you ring up to complain about it, they don't seem to have a proper process with cleaning boxes.
Why does it matter to me so much, John?
It's just that it just makes the place look really just ordinary, John. You know, like when I have rang it through, and also graffiti is a crime. When I've rang it through, John, what I've been told is you've got to take photographs of it, they send it to the contractor, and then they get a quote. Now, surely, Tony, my question's to you. Could you just have a graffiti hotline number where you could just ring up and just quote the number on the box and get it cleaned?
I must say, this is the first time I've actually come across this particular question. I'll actually have to dig in here and find out what the process is for that one. Yes, I will do my best to find out for you. Clearly,
it's a long way down your list of things to worry about, isn't it?
Well, no, it's obviously annoying our callers, so we shouldn't put up with that. So look, we'll take that offline and see what we can find out about that.
Mark?
For those people that are concerned about these boxes that are being placed all over our suburbs, we need to remember, of course, that with the second revision of the fibre to the premises technical bill, everything is underground. They now place the pits completely underground, including what was above ground. Boxes are now all below ground. And so if you go into suburbs...
So the node...
is below ground with fibre to the
pit.
Premises, yes.
Is that
they
right,
can't do that.
That's
they gorgeous. Can't do that with fibre to the node. But in New Zealand, if you go into the suburbs there where fibre to the premises is being rolled out, it is much more neat and elegant solution. Okay. Everything is neat and tidy.
Text message, Phil in Delacombe. NBNCo spent $40,000 to tunnel under my neighbour and their neighbour's nature strip to place a node at the front of the house. Instead, there were four alternatives next to existing Telstra pits, which would have saved all that money. How did we get this so wrong? I'm angry, says Margs from Sorrento, and she pretty much blames the politicians, and she names Tony Abbott and Malcolm Turnbull. I'm in Warrandyte. NBN was scheduled for installation 2017. It'll now not arrive here until 2020 or 2022. At the moment, we only get 6 megabits a second at best. We're commonly on 1.5 to 3 with regular dropouts. Surely, Australia, we can do better. We've built units on my in-laws' property. They're with Optus. We're with Telstra. How's that going to work? Says Tony.
That would depend on the technology that is being deployed in the area. So we'd have to get the exact address for that one to answer that question properly.
If anyone thinks we've built a proper network anywhere near for $50 billion, they're kidding themselves. Every network builder in the world knows that the most expensive part of the build is the final 30 metres, says Nick from Hyatt. New Zealand paid artists to paint the street cabinets so there's no graffiti.
Very good. Maybe that's an idea.
And they look great.
We actually have done that in some cases, I think, in some parts of the country.
Okay. Someone else saying, I'm just about exhausted. 22 hours on the phone with Telstra, troubleshooting NBN for my parents who are aged pensioners. Don't understand the technology. I feel for those who don't have support. So many stories like this in my community. No one here has had a smooth transition, says Lou. I could keep reading these out pretty much from now till Christmas. Margaret in Ballarat, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Tony and Mark, for coming. Look, my issue is that 2 years ago or so, early in the morning, I'm asleep, awoken by a contractor who asked if it was okay to run the fibre via my front garden and drive to next door, so not to pull up their bitumen concrete drive. The second thing they did was they tried two times and went in the wrong routes and dug up the clay and uncompacted my driveway. The third time they put the fibre without a conduit 1.5 centimetres from the ground level. Oh, by the way, previous to that, they put the pavers back upside down and out of alignment, but this time they ran a digger over it.
Is it
and
just
they
the landscaping you're cross about?
It's the landscaping. They've damaged thousands of dollars worth of landscaping and uncompacted my driveway and thousands of hours of weeding, and now yet again I've got grass running up my driveway.
Margaret, I just want to clarify, you're not worried about the service, you're worried about the landscaping.
I'm worried about the thousands, how I'm ever going to find the thousands of dollars to replace my work. The TIO asked the contractors to, asked NBN to fix it, and they spent thousands and thousands on lawyers to come and... And sorry, I'm trying not to get upset. And TIO have told them to fix it, but okay. NBN have said only if I can get tradesmen to agree to do it, but no one will do it because none of the tradesmen in Ballarat will work for NBN because they were underpaid. And I'm sorry I have to say that publicly, but I've had enough.
I can sense you're upset. And Margaret, I asked before, is
please,
this
and I want to know if Mark can help me,
sure.
Tony can help me, please.
Is this the sort of thing that might change how you vote in an election?
It would. If Tony could help me, it would really help because I haven't got the money to fix with a brand new property that I landscaped and paid so much money for.
Is it your premises, Margaret, or something
my
that
premises,
you... It's where you live or you rent it out?
No, I own it. But
okay, well, just hang on.
It's ruined.
I can hear you're upset and I can understand how people take great pride in their home. Tony?
Yeah, we will take those details offline and deal with that urgently. That's a horrible situation.
So, well, I will get Margaret.
Give my details to the producer.
Yeah, we'll pass it on. I'll put you back to
absolutely.
My producer.
And we'll have
and
somebody.
Tony promises.
We'll
thank
have somebody.
So much,
we'll have
Tony,
somebody call you.
You.
Sorry, excuse me.
I want someone closer to you because the people at NBN that are meant to fix it don't want to know.
No, all I'm right. sure you will have somebody who can actually influence the situation call you this afternoon. That's a very regrettable situation.
Margaret, I'll put you back to my producers. Mark Gregory.
Yes, I think this is another important point that we need to cover here, and that what we've seen around the world is a much more flexible approach to actually installation into the homes. Now, when the NBN was first started, The idea was to put the fibre up the existing conduit to the homes where the telephone wires were. Now, as they've found in other countries, this doesn't always work, and what it means is you've got to dig up parts of people's homes.
Well, that happened with my neighbour, actually, and then they wanted to smash a hole in his brick wall to run it through into the house, and he was aghast.
So this is where the rest of the world has moved on and NBN Co hasn't, because these sorts of horror stories are still occurring from NBN Co today. In New Zealand, if they look at the home and they decide the best approach is to put the shielded fibre around the fence line, they do that. If they decide to actually run the fibre up the nearest power pole and then put it in aerially, they do that. So in New Zealand, they use four different approaches to get the fibre into homes. In Australia, NBN Co is still continuing to use an approach that was 2009 technology, and all of it is just hard yakka for everyone. And this is why everything about NBN Co costs so much.
Okay, now, let's get a response.
Just the last point. Australia is the only country in the world where the cost of installing fibre into homes hasn't decreased.
Okay, Tony?
This is the whole point of fibre-to-the-curb technology. Now, the big issue, and you've addressed it with your neighbour and so on and so forth, when you're in a local neighbourhood and you're digging up driveways and lawns and so on and so forth, you're disrupting people, as we heard from that very unfortunate last caller, on many occasions causing lots of distress. Now, this is the prime reason why fibre to the curb is such a great technology for us. Now,
that's why Mark's saying in New Zealand, for instance, in an analogous
urban... We are not New Zealand. We don't have the same rights they do to use aerial fibre.
Well, why not?
We have the usage of the Telstra pit and pipe system, which is underground. So that would make the network even more expensive.
Hang on a second, Mark. That's just a regulatory issue. If given the government and everyone else can provide you with that permission, if indeed you wanted to use it, it would give you options for getting access to premises.
We cannot just go around using power poles and so on and so forth. They belong to the utility companies. We have to pay for access. That would make the network even more expensive.
Well, cable television companies negotiated access
in the 90s,
to those poles,
of course,
and
yes.
Wires.
In the 90s, of course, yes. But on the fibre network, and of course, remembering the sort of country we live in here with natural disasters and so on and so forth.
I think New Zealand's had its share of those,
having
too.
Having the fibre buried underground, safely buried underground, means that if you have a storm or whatever, it's not damaged. If it's deployed aerially, you've got a problem.
All right. Johannes in Richmond is next, and good morning to you too, Johannes.
It's Johannes speaking. Good morning, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Just a moment. Loudspeakers off now. I have to say, good news is, on one way, I'm happy. At first, we received the installation notice, and there was a chapter, authority to install, a notice under the Act. You can feel now that it is not very customer-friendly to refer to the Act. The second was, notice the little black booklet which comes, and there were mentioned aerial connections. That means from the next pole on the footpath, a cable overhead to the house. And that was antique technology like hammer chisel on a stone plate. I made an appointment, a team came exactly in time, they opened the pit in the footpath. I knew that there was a conduit underground in our garden, it's a property in Baldwin North, and they had a wire in the conduit straight to the house, did it within 20 minutes, attached to the house as a new box, and everybody was happy.
So you're delighted with every experience you've had, Johannes?
Except the installation notice. It is a notice under the Act that seems like being threatened, I must do it.
Yes, it is. Their communications sometimes, Tony, can be quite intimidating for, in particular, elderly people or people who aren't technologically adept.
To explain what's going on there, on the HFC network, which sounds like Johannes is being connected to, we're now going down streets over the whole HFC footprint and pre-connecting premises to the network. Now, what that
digging
means
up
is
whole footpaths all the way along.
In some cases, yes, that's correct. Yes, the key thing there is the biggest challenge in the past with fibre, or indeed with HFC, was somebody calling up to order a service. and then having to wait, you know, 4, 6, 7 weeks for a new lead-in to be built. And that's the trickiest part of what we do, is building the lead-in. So on HFC now, we're pre-building all of those lead-ins across those streets, which people have no doubt seen out there in Melbourne. And therefore, the idea is when their premise is declared ready to connect, they don't have to have a long wait. They can be connected very quickly.
Sure. Johannes, I've been asking people if this for them is a deal-maker or breaker on the next election. Have you been sufficiently impressed, as you've told us, for you to reward the politicians with your vote?
I was impressed with the service team. I was not impressed with the first part of the story. And you can hear from my strange accent, I'm still a visitor and a guest for 22 years here in Australia.
Only 22 years? No, yes, your accent doesn't trouble me in the slightest. But just in answer to the question, does it influence you politically?
No, I'm not allowed to vote, but I support Australia.
Oh, okay, well, you should maybe you should regularise your status here.
Yes, thank
you. It would be an interesting exercise. Michael in Preston, good morning. Welcome to our special forum looking at NBN Co. with Tony Brown from NBN Co. and Mark Gregory from RMIT University, 25 to 12 on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria Digital Radio and all the rest of it as well. You still there, Michael? No, Michael's gone. So Jill in East Malvern, good morning to you, Jill.
Good morning. Tony, why was it I had 10 minutes of landline and internet in November? Why was it from April to December, I was 31 hours on the phone to Telstra? Why was it I was told I had to have NBN when I had 18 months grace? What is it about, first of all, the lack of service? Oh, and if my landline and internet aren't working, undo the plugs, the electric plugs that go to hold up the modem, the white one from Telstra and the black one from NBN, and I have to undo that and then put them back, and then I have to stick a pin in a hole in each of the modem.
To reset.
And guess what? That is so laughable, okay. You cannot believe it.
Let's
it
get your response, Jill. Let's get your response.
So first, if you give us your details, we'll look into the issues on your case and so we make sure we can solve up any problems you've had
in the past. Well, I'm going to ask the Ombudsman to make Telstra or NBN give me a lot of money, because I miss getting articles that I write for a magazine out, and I'm on sick leave at that time, and I got missed emails that were important for my work.
Okay, so you've made your case, Jill. Let's get a response from Tony.
Again,
he's barely been able to get a word.
Very regretful that's happened. That obviously is not the type of service we're looking to be providing to our retailers. Well, I will check in with my colleagues at Telstra and find out what's happened in your case and look to provide you with some answers.
Mark?
I think that the caller has raised an important point, in that for anyone that's having difficulty or problems, it's very important that they lodge a case with the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman, because not only can the Telecommunication Industry Ombudsman arrange for the service to be fixed and hopefully very quickly, but they can arrange for compensation. And so for people affected, this is most important.
And Jill, is this for you? Is it a vote changer issue or something incidental to the rest of life?
I voted ALP. I wanted fibre right to my phone. And also the NBN person, I don't know who it was, who put the black box in, did a shoddy job, and the third NBN person who came fixed it.
Okay, I'm going to pop you back to my producers, because Tony has said they'll have a look at your particular instance as well. Creating a lot of homework for your people, I might say, Tony. And the text message is still coming in by the thousand. A couple of interesting ones that are different. Telstra have a lot to answer for, says Sam. Someone else saying, my whole neighbourhood in upheaval and the neighbours are all talking to each other about this. It's become a gathering point for us. Thank you, NBN Co., for bringing the neighbourhood together. It's a certain... Come on, you've got to laugh, don't
That's
you?
Good. That's very good indeed.
Yeah, it's lovely. Suggestion is that your crew are driving around in luxury cars. What's the standard NBN Co.?
It's a dual cab ute. It's certainly not a luxury vehicle, that's for sure.
Didn't think so. The only way consumers can get their NBN problem fixed is to go through the radio. No, it's not. It's to go through the telecommunications industry. I'm 25 years old and tech savvy, and I'm completely confused. I don't know how older people cope. Live 40Ks from Melbourne. Been told by the techies my nodes have been placed too far apart. Will never get good service. What made that decision, says Pete in Monbulk. If the electricity goes off, we don't have reliable mobile coverage. NBN won't provide backup batteries. I'm a medical priority customer, but they won't help me, says Lawrence. On and on the text messages go. Wow, there's a real bubbling up of discontent. Matt in Clifton Hill. Morning, Matt.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. We're trying to figure out why it takes virtually 2.5 years to get a connection when the entire suburb's already been done more than a year and a half ago.
What happened?
Where we live, the contractor or the technician came, visited the property, had a look at it, decided that it was too hard and just walked off.
What do you mean too hard? Why was it too hard?
Distance from the pole. We're a HFC. And the distance from the pole to the front wall of the premises is 10, 15 metres. And he just decided to go. He just walked away.
10 or 15 metres? That was too much.
Yeah, well, apparently.
All right.
But anyway.
Tony's nodding, so keep going.
So we were meant to get connected in July last year. That got pushed back to September because of the previous visit. And then with the pause and all that, we got told this year that we will be up and running on the 28th of March, or sorry, May this year. And now that's been pushed back to January, February next year because the contractor, once again, can't decide how to actually run the cable to the property.
Instead of doing it. How many visits have you had so far?
We've had, including the one that happened 3 weeks ago, that would be a total of four.
And this is partly where all your additional cost is going, isn't it, Tony? And I've got a text here, same thing. I've just had the NBN contractors at my place here in Coburg and making a mid-span hybrid aerial connection, which I suppose is what it is, but they're not allowed to cross my neighbour's property to put up a ladder or something to make the connection, so they have to go away again.
That's right. So there are rules in place for infrastructure in residential areas. So, for example, on that previous case, what may have to happen there is that we have to install it. As you people would have seen, they'll be very familiar throughout Melbourne, all the cap cities, of seeing that HFC cable slung across roads, for example. That has to be at a certain height to be safe for vehicles to pass underneath it. It sounds like the gentleman in question there is going to need to have a telegraph pole put on the other side of the street so that it can be connected into his house. And obviously that's what's taking the time there. But again, take that offline and we'll find out some more information.
Wow. Matt?
Yeah?
This a deal-maker, deal-breaker for you at the next election? Is it one of the things you'll take into account?
Well, it's a deal-breaker. I mean, with the HFC running down our street is actually on my side of the street. The pole is out the front of my house. And they want to, instead of doing an aerial connection, like what the rest of the street is, they're now talking about going underground.
So everyone else has got an aerial connection, but they won't give you one?
Yeah, everyone's been connected since July last year.
So what's changed? What, Tony, why would that be?
So there are rules in place for that cable crossing across a neighbour's property, for example.
It doesn't cross across anyone's property apart from ours.
Okay.
The pole's directly in front, mate.
Without knowing the specific details on the ground, we'll take them off, because that sounds rather strange, to be quite honest. So we'll look into that and go back to you.
All right.
Not a problem.
There you are, Matt.
John, can we pop you
back on to hold as well.
Yeah, sorry, John, Mark. Can we just go back to the point that Tony made before about that NBN Co. can't use poles, and yet we've just been discussing
the
22% of Australia that are using poles because they're on HFC.
How come
you can for some...
Because that's already being used by Telstra and Foxtel for that cable network outside of that.
But Tony, you do know, do you? I hope you can step out of your area of expertise to see how ridiculous that is. You can use a pole in this instance with this mix, but you can't use the next pole because it's got a different mix.
But don't forget...
And that's costing the taxpayers and the community a fortune.
But we have to pay for access to those poles. It's
sure,
not for free.
But just free the whole thing up.
But again,
there is not
an unlimited supply of money here to pay the utility companies for access to the poles.
But
we already have access to the Telstra pit and pipe network, which we're using. Now, you can't have it both ways. If we were to pay for both pole access and duct access for Telstra, now don't forget, we're paying Telstra billions and billions of dollars for using their infrastructure, their pit and pipe network. If we then have to go and pay the utilities more money, that means a more expensive NBN for everybody, and that's not really a great solution.
This has been such a... There's a word that comes to mind. I better be careful. Steve in the city, morning to you.
G'day. How you going?
Yeah, look, I'm I'm exasperated, but so is everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I've worked on the Telstra network. I've just finished about a year ago, and I worked on the Telstra copper network for 25 years. And I've got to tell you, and I worked in Melbourne and interstate, and the copper network is shot to pieces. It's a 100-year-old, antiquated, absolute piece of junk. And it's never going to work trying to marry up fibre to copper. You know, you've got a modern-day technology and trying to marry it to a 100-year-old technology. And even if that technology was in good shape, you'd still be struggling. But the shape of the copper network, it's been let go for the last 50 years by Telstra. And I think NBN have been ripped off by Telstra. I think it's absolutely just a con job.
I'm going to go back a step, Steve.
I'm going to go back
pre-NBN and say the mistake was not getting Telstra just to be NBN Co. in the first place. If at the very beginning Telstra were basically told, you have to do this and you have to separate your retail
from your wholesale,
which was discussed at the time, the whole thing would have been different.
Well, the original idea to have fibre to the premises, great. You've got the speed of light all the way through to a house.
And one organisation in charge of it all.
Yeah, and now what you're looking at is a freeway to a dirt track. That's the best analogy that I can make.
Yeah.
You have basically got the speed of light tapping into an antiquated and absolutely... I tell you, the copper. If most people saw the state of the copper network, you would be absolutely dumbfounded. We were made to band-aid up that network for the last 20-odd years, and particularly after Australia bought the gel from the US, the 3M gel, and filled all the joints. So basically, you know, all your aerial pole boxes, all your joints through the street, they're all shot. They're all gone. A lot of them are in garbage bags. They were meant to be replaced before NBN took it over, and most of them haven't been. You know, it's never going to work. It's an absolute disaster. And the sooner NBN realises it, that they need to step up and put fibre through to the houses, it's never going to work for NBN or anyone. It's a disaster the whole time through.
Mark Gregory?
I think it's also important at this point to remember, of course, that the CEO of Telstra, I think it was in 2010, told shareholders that the copper network was shot.
Sol Trujillo, was it back in those days?
David Thodey. Yes. The other important things, of course, to remember that haven't been pointed out is that the Prime Minister promised everyone 50...
Which one?
This is Turnbull.
Yeah.
Promised everyone a minimum of 50 megabits per second by 2019. Now, we already know that the NBN cannot finish the rollout until the middle of 2022. And it's sliding every day.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I'm sorry, Tony.
Tony, I'll come to you in a second. Keep going.
So the middle of 2022 is the earliest that they can finish. The other important thing that we need to remember is another one of these fine points is when they say we're going to give you 25 or 50 megabits per second, it's only for 5 minutes a day that they have to achieve the speed they've said they're going to give you, according to the rules they're allowed to get through.
All right, Tony, let's just finish the date.
That's absolute nonsense. I have no idea where Mark gets the information from. We have a new corporate plan coming out in August, and we are still very much on track to complete by 2020. Where this information comes from,
Got messages from people now saying they're being told by you that they won't get services till 2022.
Nothing on the NBN website is past 2020, as far as I'm aware. That is news to me. That's certainly incorrect. We have a corporate plan. Let's address the question of the copper. The question of the copper is this. The vast majority of the copper is being replaced. All that's been left in place, on average, about 450 metres. Now, is the copper in perfect condition? Well, of course not. You wouldn't expect it to be. But what it allows us to do is to deliver a service much, much faster than if we were rolling a fibre connection to every single premises. Across 1.7 million people on FTTN, the average speed being achieved is 70 megabits per second. 70, right? That's a long, long way from ADSL 2, 8 megabits per second. Is it as good as fibre? No, it's not. But it enables us to get people onto a good broadband speed now, with the prospects in the future of upgrading to fibre to the curb, or indeed FTTP.
Andrea in Ivanhoe, good morning.
Good morning, John. Should I take you off loudspeaker?
Keep talking.
Look, we have a situation with the NBN and with Telstra as well. We actually have no access to the NBN whatsoever, as our cable and telephone lines have been severed. We've had about five crews from the NBN come out. We've had suggestions of digging up pathways, running cables. They can't do any bends in the cables. They can only do 110 metres, and the way they wanted to do it was to go through two rock retaining walls, through roots and trees, up through pathways, across slate carving, everything like that.
Sounds like Indiana Jones.
Oh, look, it was ridiculous, truly. But then they weren't given permission to, because Telstra had sold to the NBN in early November last year, the area, Ivanhoe, which was originally with the Labor government meant to have fibre to the home direct. Then the coalition came in and they changed all that. So this area was then put onto either cable or telephone lines for Wi-Fi. Now, because of our situation, we can't get access to the NBN at all.
Yeah.
We have to use 4G network.
So you've only got...
We only have
mobile connections only.
Mobile connection only.
You don't have a landline of any kind?
Nothing, no landline, no Foxtel, nothing.
Okay, let me get you a response from Tony Brown.
Again, we'll take that offline to find out the particular details there. If the cable's been severed and you're not in an NBN area as yet, then that's up to Telstra to fix that and bring you back online to a Telstra service until the NBN arrives in your area.
No, we are with the NBN. The NBN is in our area, and we're meant to have it connected by September this year. Originally, it was 2 years ago that we were meant to have it connected, and that was never done. It was always put off and things like that. But with the severed lines, the NBN, because they are now in the area, Telstra has nothing to do with us. We have to buy a 4G network. Telstra couldn't offer us a better deal. So we had to go elsewhere.
Let me get your response again from Tony, because he's frowning.
So is your premises at this stage ready to connect? Do you know? Is it ready to connect to the NBN?
The area is ready to connect, but we cannot ever have a connection because this area is going to go through the pits that Telstra have in the ground. And I can't understand why I can't understand why the NBN originally didn't get the telco companies to actually do the work instead of panning it out to all these other contractors had a chat with, and they said that the NBN is just a money-making machine for all contractors because they decide how it's going to be connected, when it's going to be connected, and then they have their management that they have to then go and report back to.
Let me get your response, otherwise we're not going to hear from Tony.
I think it would make more sense to find out the individual case here. It's NBN's responsibility to provide you a connection to your premises that delivers at least 25 megabits per second, and if that's not happened already, which clearly it hasn't, then it clearly will happen in the near future, but we'll get back to you with more details on your case.
Okay, I'm putting you back to my producers for more homework for Tony Brown's people back at NBN headquarters. Mark, it's 8 minutes to 12. I'll see if I can get to some more calls. There's still a full board of calls, and I'm getting text messages by the screen. There's 30 to a screen, and they're coming in every couple of minutes, another 30. Internet connection and communications now is as much an essential service as water and power and gas.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's why people are so angry that this is so unreliable or so complex for no obvious reason.
That's right. I mean, look, we're spending $50 billion, and at the end of the process, probably about June 2022 or later, we're going to end up with a system that's completely obsolete. By that stage, the major countries around the world will have moved to fibre to the premises. By that stage, the United States will have probably passed 50% of homes connected to fibre to the premises. And we're just going to be so far behind the rest of the world. Telecommunications is an essential service.
Just as much as water and power.
Absolutely. We had the opportunity to do it correctly, like New Zealand is doing it, like other countries are doing it, and we've blown it completely. Now, can I just finish on one point? The important point is that Tony needs to read the legislation. If your area, if you're told you're moving to the NBN in June 2020, you have an 18-month window to decide which service provider you go with.
Yep.
After 18 months, the old technology is turned off. So your area is not on the NBN, fully on the NBN, until 18 months after your area is declared ready for service.
Yes.
And so that means if you've been told your area is going to change over in June 2020, like myself, then my area will not be on the NBN until January 2022.
No, not fully.
According to the legislation.
You have the ability to sign up to the network in 2020. That's the key point.
No, either way. Let's go back, Tony. Let's not get stuck on that one.
Let's address
a couple of points there. Back to the essential service side of things.
Absolutely, and that's why it makes sense to connect people as fast as possible. Now, look, it may not be to a gigabit fibre connection. Now, if we could do that in the time frame and the cash allowed, we'd do it. Now, Mark raised something earlier on which is just flat out wrong, okay, about the UK and Germany. Now, we had in November last year, the chairman of Openreach, which is the UK company building fibre in the UK, and Deutsche Telekom here in Australia. Deutsche Telekom made it quite clear they simply cannot afford to pay 90 billion euros to fibre the whole of Germany. So Deutsche Telekom are building exactly the same network we are building here in Australia with this so-called obsolete technology. Germany, the most advanced economic nation in Europe, are building the same network we're building here. As for the UK has completed a fibre to the node network connecting about 25 million premises now. Now, they're looking now to go to the next stage. The challenge for the UK, and we were told this by the chairman of Openreach personally, is how, and this is the same problem facing everybody around the world, how do you fund an upgrade?
Okay, I want several callers to, if possible, get a chance to sort out their problem. Laurie and Baldwin, if you're quick, good morning.
Hello, I'm a medical priority customer, and if my electricity goes down, I don't have a home phone and I've got an unreliable, weak mobile signal, and I'm desperately trying to get a backup battery, but NBN won't give me one or sell me one. I'm desperate.
Is your a medical alarm a registered alarm or an unregistered alarm?
No, it's not an alarm. I need a working phone so I could ring an ambulance if I got ill. And if the electricity goes off, I lose my NBN HFC phone and I don't have reliable mobile coverage where I live. And I'm trying to get a backup battery.
For your landline, not that it's an NBN landline, but is it an NBN phone connection?
That's correct, yes.
Right, okay,
yes,
Tony.
Who is your provider, please, sir?
Well, I'm not connected yet, but I'll probably go with Telstra. They won't give me one. They say it's an NBN matter. NBN will provide a backup battery if you have fibre to the home, but for HFC, but you won't sell or give a battery backup even to a medical priority customer, and Telstra don't want to know about it.
We'll take it offline and we'll get back to you on that one and see how we can help.
Okay, Laurie, I'll pop you back to my producers and see if we can sort that one out. And Greg in Highton, if you're there, Greg?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. You're through to Tony Brown from NBN Co.
Yes, hello, Tony. Jill, who rang earlier on, mentioned about how she was forced into going with NBN. Around about the 20th of April, I received an SMS saying my order for NBN had been placed and that a modem had been delivered and someone would be connect on May the 4th. I received in the paper a letter a couple of days later giving me 14 days cooling off on an order I hadn't placed, but was being forced to. I contacted the number and said, I don't want the order. I told my provider that.
Which provider is it that we're dealing with here?
This is Optus.
Optus.
This is Optus. As the provider. The provider then cancelled it at their end, and whatever happened, somehow or other, they didn't cancel the NBN order because the two weren't talking to each other for some reason.
And still don't. This is one of the things we're hearing over and over and over again. The fragmentation of the delivery of service, mm-hmm. Tony, drives customers crazy.
That's right. And so if we think about this from the old model we had, where Telstra owned the network and they sold services, they connected customers, that's all changed now. Now, one of the big benefits of the NBN is there are about 150 providers selling services on the network. That means that's great competition, low prices, great value.
Not great.
And it's the competition.
It's
the competition. There are prices available from like $30 a month all the way to premium plans of like $150, right? So there's a huge range of options out there. The issue is, with that many providers in the market, we are always going to have challenges in making sure NBN and the customer and the provider are aligned. And this, I know, is where customers get frustrated. So we're working with our retailers to try and smooth this process out. It will never be perfect, but we're doing everything we can.
Let's call this for what it is, say several texters. This whole thing was contrived in order to make cable television viable in an era now where it's almost irrelevant. Well, if you're, in fact, relying on cable TV for your sport, you don't agree with that. But that's certainly the view of several people. It's been a difficult day in the office for you, Tony. I've got literally hundreds of text messages from people and still a full board of calls of people who want your guts for garters. And not you personally, it's not personal, it's just business. Mm-hmm. But they are so angry, I will predict this is going to be a huge issue all the way through until it's somehow fixed somewhere down the track. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Mark Gregory from RMIT University. And Tony, I think we've created a lot of extra work for
thank
some
you,
of your people back in the office. We'll let you get on with it. And
no
thank
problem.
You for coming
It's been a pleasure
in.
To be here. Thank you.
Tony Brown from Corporate Media. He's their executive manager at NBN Co. And yes, it is an essential service. On your ABC, this has been The Conversation Hour.